I was just meditating and thinking about things. You know, I've been pastoring here a while now and talking to the same people every time I get up here. And when you do that after a while, you're just like, Lord, you know, what can I say that I haven't already said? Well, I can't say anything because there's nothing new under the sun. But the Word is always the Word. But you know, you also, even if you're getting the same Word, you kind of like to come at it from some different angles, right? Come on now, you know, when you go to the Mexican restaurant, and I've said this before, you ain't getting nothing different. You can call it whatever you want, right? Come on, you're getting chicken and rice and bread and sometimes you get some vegetables and things, right? It don't matter how they fix it. It can be in the plate by itself with the bread on the side. It can be rolled up in the bread, right? I mean, it don't matter how, what it's called. It may look different, but it's still the same thing. But still, you'll order something different. I'm getting something different today, right? So I want you to feel like you're getting something different every time I get up here, even though it's the same Word. You know, we never want to get outside the Word. But I was just thinking, and this just started coming to me. I don't know why. I'm not a surfer, but I started thinking about surfing. Lord knows I wouldn't want to try it. But I have tried to ski, and that didn't work out too well either. But now, you know, I was probably 300 plus pounds when I did, when I'd get a hold of that thing. It would either pull it out of my hands because I was so fat I couldn't get out of the water, or I'd hold on to it and I'd finally have to let go because it jerked me off the skis and I'd start heading toward the bottom and you got to let go. I worked real hard and never did get up, and so I thought, well, this skiing thing's not for me. So I'm sure the surfing thing, I'm not known to have the greatest balance. Y'all got good balance, do you? I can't say, so a lot of folks do, and that's great. I can't say that I've ever, that I know of in my life, had the greatest of balances. And I mean, you know, I've put myself in some places, deer hunting and standing on limbs on one foot and climbing up and hole. I mean, you know, in some dangerous spots, but, you know, like something simple, like I'll never forget one time, Brother Tim, he bought one of those bullets. Anybody remember the bullets that everybody used to pull behind the boats? It's before they got all the real fancy stuff, you know, the big wide ones that you could lay in and all that stuff. This thing was just that. It looked like a little spaceship, you know, and one person would get on it, and it had enough room for you to put your knees on it once you were straddled it and had a little handhold here, and it was only about that wide. Well, you know, the idea was you get on it, the boat takes off, and when the rope tightens up, you just hold on and they just pull you. Well, you'd pull up to the boat most of the time to get on it. Some folks that had good balance could walk up to the back of it and just slide yourself right up on that thing. Well, I could hold to the boat, crawl over onto the bullet, and I'd sit there for just a second and then, poof! Didn't have to move me, didn't have to touch me. I'd just sit there long enough to where I'd start rocking and just turn over. I just never had that kind of balance. So I don't think I would be a very good surfer. But I started thinking about the surfers, and God started showing me some things, and I think you'll like it. It's bringing back in the Word of God with it. But if you think about a surfer, you know, they'll paddle out there because the whole idea of surfing is to what? Catch the wave, right? They go out and they watch the water, and they watch for that right wave to come. Now, here's the thing about that. If they wait too late, they miss the wave and they miss the power that's pushing them back to the shore. So basically, if they're too late, if they're back too far, they'll just end up sliding off the backside and the wave goes on without them. Now, in the same turn, if they're doing that and they don't time that thing out right, and they're too far ahead of the wave and they're trying to get themselves there, what happens to them is, man, they crash and burn. Anybody ever watch any of the surfing? How that, I mean, you know, that big wave comes up and it's just a wall of water and it just, you think, man, they're killed, but they usually make it all right. Some people do get hurt badly. But if you're too slow, if you're too late, if you wait too long, you miss the power that's going to push you. But if you get ahead of the wave, then you mess up and you want to get crushed. So the ideal is to get on top of that wave. To catch the very top of it and ride that power all the way into the shore. And so, I don't know, it just started coming to me and I started thinking about it. And so, I started thinking about spiritually, God, how does this apply to the Word of God? You know, and He started showing me. So I said, you're right, you know. So, if you look in Matthew chapter 25, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at some folks here who were too slow. Folks who didn't catch the way, they were back and they missed it. Okay? If you look in Matthew chapter 25, let's just go ahead and I'll just read it. It's 13 verses, if that'll be okay. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, everybody say they that were ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, here we have a perfect example. Every one of them were there and had an opportunity to be on top. Every one of them had an opportunity to go into the marriage supper with the Lamb. The only problem was some of them didn't think it was important enough to prepare. See, a lot of Christians are hoping they're going to heaven, but they're really not preparing for heaven. Come on now, folks. You know, they'll talk a good game. Matter of fact, if you read it, all of them had lamps. Right? They all had lamps in the beginning. They were all called to come. But then when the master tarried and didn't show up when he should have, the Bible says they all slumbered and slept. Notice they all slumbered and slept. The bridegroom's not there yet. They're all asleep. So, you know, any of you fooled with coal lamps before? So maybe a few of us older folks that's fooled with them a little bit. What you used to do with those, there's coal in the bottom, or oil in the bottom. A wick came up into the glass, and you could literally take those lamps, and it would be like the higher you turned it up, the higher the wick was, the brighter the. But you could turn that wick down, and it would pull it back down into itself to where it would still be lit, but there was almost no light coming from it, but it was still lit. And so when he talks about that they were all slumbered and slept, and then when the call was made, the bridegroom cometh, they all rose and trimmed their lamps. What he's saying is this, when they heard that call, they all turned the wicks up so that they would brighten their light. Well, when they did that, those that were foolish found out that their lamps had gone out. While they had slumbered, while they had slept, while they had waited, their oil had been used up, even though it wasn't burning very bright, it had been used up. Now those that were wise were able to just put more oil in their lamps and just keep them going. But they went then, the foolish, to the wise and said, give us of your oil. And they said, no, we're not going to do that because we just got enough for us. Now see, there's an important lesson in this, because if we're trying to ride on somebody else's coattail, if we're trying to make it in on somebody else's oil, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to stay on top using somebody else's oil. Can I tell you something? You'll not stay on top by just listening to me preach, Brother Rick preach, Brother Tim preach, whether it's Brother Sister Debbie preaching or whoever we have. You'll not stay on top like that. Did you know that? Now, I'm not telling you it's not good. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm telling you is you're using our oil when we're giving you the Word. And you need your own oil. You need to get into the Word for yourself if you want to stay on top. You need to have the Word ready for yourself, because there's going to come a time to where you're going to need extra oil, and you better have it.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, look around you, church, and look at what's going on. It's not a time to be back here, because you'll miss out on the power of God that's getting ready to be loosed. Come on, the wave is coming. And I want to be on top of that wave. I don't want to be back here having regrets. Well, I wish I'd have done this, and I'd have wished I'd have done that. Come on. There are going to be a lot of folks sitting around scratching their head, wondering why they missed it, but I can look around and see why they missed it.
Yeah.
Wednesday night's not important enough.
Come on.
Sunday's very important enough for a lot of folks. Listen, you don't stay on top like that. Come on, we as Stephanie said, we do live in some tough times, and it's very important that you and I make sure that we keep not only our lamps full, but we keep a vessel with us that's full. In other words, I'm overflowing on the inside, but I'm keeping my Word with me, so in case I need some extra. Come on, I'm memorizing scriptures. I'm meditating on the Word. I'm quoting the Word over myself. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When you're sitting in a hospital room and nobody's around and it's real quiet and all you have is God to rely on, it's a good thing then when you know some scriptures to put Him in remembrance of His Word. Amen. That's when you get that. That's when you need that extra oil. Amen. So they had opportunity, but they were, and just let me say it this way, you can get mad at me if you want to, but basically they were just too lazy to get a vessel with extra oil and take it with them. See, that's the problem with a lot of Christians. Yeah, I hope I'll probably make some mad. Laziness is probably one of the biggest problems in Christianity. It's not that people can't read, it's they don't want to read. Come on. It's not that people can't pray, they don't want to pray. Come on. It's not that they can't take time with God, they don't want to take time with God because we've got the world entertaining us with everything else. No, yeah, well, we can get on social media and talk about politics for 24/7. Right? Come on, we can talk about elections, we can talk about government, we can talk about those things and post all day long. I'm going to tell you, no politician, no government, no political party, nobody going to get you to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I want to be riding that wave. Come on. No matter what happens here on this earth, He's all that matters. Come on. So you see, they had that opportunity, but they were just, for some reason, unprepared when they said, "Behold, the Bridegroom cometh." Can I tell you something? Now, you know, we don't know the time of the hour, neither does the Son of Man, the Bible says. It's in God's timing. But if we're not ready when God looks and says, "Go get them," it's too late then. While they went to buy oil, while they went to try to get recharged or get their light refired, the Bridegroom came, and those that were ready. Not the ones that had good intentions. Those other, they had good intentions. They wanted to meet the Bridegroom, but they were not ready. Only those that were ready went in. And what happened when they went in? The door was closed. I don't know what some people are thinking. You and I know that there's the movies out there, you know, that talk about after the rapture and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. That's people building on thoughts and imaginations, and they really don't have Scripture to back up what they're saying there. Now there will be, I understand there's the 144,000 Jews, the angels preaching. But you see, we're in this dispensation of the Gentiles right now. It's our time right now. That'll be the time of Israel. God's chosen people. Why you think God would let the angels preach? Why you think that? Because that's His chosen people. We're those that have been grafted in. It's our opportunity right now. And if you turn down this opportunity right now, I cannot promise you scripturally that you'll have another chance. I can't. Now, if somebody will help me, that's fine. Because that's not something I'm prolific in, but I've read enough and I've not seen anywhere where once Jesus comes and takes the church home, somebody will have an opportunity after that. Because we're the church now. We're the body of Christ now. It's our time. He's giving every person right now an opportunity to catch the wave. He's giving you that opportunity right now to get on top. But if you lag back, and once the wave's gone, you've missed it. You've missed it. They missed it. They went and knocked on the door and said, "Lord, Lord, let us in." And He said, "Depart from me. I don't know you." So He says, "Watch ye therefore. Watch, because you don't know when He's coming." I pray He don't come for another 1,000 years. You're looking at me funny, but see, there's a lost and dying world out here that needs Jesus. All of us have family that's lost that needs to be saved. But we don't have that promise either. We don't know. And that's why the Bible tells us to watch and go ahead and be prepared. Be watching the water. I said the surfer watches and he sees the wave. You ought to be able to look out there right now and be able to judge the water. You ought to see it's time to be getting ready to get on the wave. And even, like I said, if it's a while, that don't matter. Make sure that you're catching the wave. Amen. Now, there's another story that kind of goes along with this same type of thing. And it's the one where, the king makes the marriage supper for his son. And the Bible says he makes everything ready. I think it's Matthew 22, chapter 22. He makes everything ready and he tells his servants, he says, "Go ahead and go out there and tell them to come on because the supper's ready." And the servants go out to those that are bidden. Notice that they're called, they're bidden, they're asked to come. And the Bible says that they made light of it. They made light of it. I'm going to tell you something. There are folks that are calling themselves Christians that are making light of their Christianity. They're taking it with a grain of salt like it's nothing. They're pretending that church is their social society. And I saw something where somebody was talking about on one of those groups, and somebody was talking about the church and talking about it like it was just a business and we were the people that attended the business. And, I thought to myself, man, you don't even know God. You don't even know God. But he sent out and he told them, he said, "Come on in, everything's ready." And they made light of it. And he sent more. And when he sent them, the Bible says they even abused them, beat them up and killed them. And so the king's mad and he sends out and he destroys those that he told to come. And he says, "Just go ahead and go out into the highways, the hedges. Go bring anybody that'll come, bring them to this supper." And they go out and they bring anybody that'll come. See, the Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely." It's an opportunity right now. The whosoever will is out there right now. The call to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb is out there right now. "All things are ready," he said, "come to the feast." And the Bible says those came that were bidden. Those came out of the streets and the highways, the hedges. They all came in. And then the king comes out and he starts walking around looking at all of his guests. And the Bible says that he saw somebody there not having on a wedding garment. Now you see, real quickly, we have to, in our minds, start thinking, wait a minute. How'd this dude end up in there without a wedding garment? Personally, I believe this dude was one of those guys that was a procrastinator. He was one of those guys that laid back and said, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I might go, I might not go. If I decide to, I will. If I decide to, I won't. But once everybody's gone up, now here he is left alone. And he's probably thinking, you know, maybe I ought to went to that. Maybe I should just go ahead and go on up there now. But you see, the difference was, those that came when they were invited had on a garment. A wedding garment. So when the king comes in and he sees this guy sticking out like a sore thumb because he's not dressed for the supper. Can I tell you something? The only people going to get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb are those that will be dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not get to go if you haven't put on Christ and made Him the Lord of your life. The Bible says that when he saw him, he told his servants, he said, take him, cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. He was cast out. See, if you wait around and then try it again, try to get in, it's going to be too late. It's for us right now to stay on top, not get behind. Amen. See, that's what will happen to us if we back off and we're waiting. Well, you know, I just planned on doing that, but I just never could get it. I was going to do it, but, you know, had some neighbors come over. I was going to do it, but my family came over. I planned on coming to church, you know, but then somebody stopped by, one of my friends, and they wanted to go. Where's your priority at? Is your priority to stay on top, or are you going to let somebody else cause you to miss out? Come on, I'm going to tell you something. Satan will send your best meaning friends along. Some of your best meaning family along. Come on now. And I'll be honest with you, Satan will even come up with a good excuse for you not to. But I'm going to tell you, there is no such thing as a good excuse. There's no such thing as family that ought to keep you away from being on top with God. You say, yeah, but I love my family, just don't want to offend anybody. Well, are they going to be offended at you if you go to hell because you've missed out? Amen. Come on, see, it's not about that, folks. It's about putting God first. Yes. He said, if you're ashamed of me and to confess me in front of this sinful and adulterous world, I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father and His holy angels. Make sure that you're not holding back. You don't have a good excuse for not being on top. You don't have a good excuse for lagging behind. Come on. It's the truth. You say, well, you're preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. I know it. And I want to make sure every one of us ride that wave all the way into heaven. Because any of us at any time can get slack. We can get a little lazy. Come on, we can back off a little bit because we're tired and things are going on or work's tough or this is going on or school's starting back and it's hard and this. That's called life. And the way you rise above life is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the life in Him. Amen. So we want to make sure that we're not of them that miss out on the power, miss out. We don't want to lag back. We want to make sure we're on top. But then, we get on in the Word of God and we find out we're in the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus Christ He's risen from the dead and He's being seen of all the disciples and He begins to talk to them and He says, listen, I need you to stay in Jerusalem. This is Acts chapter 1. He says, I need you to stay in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. I need you to be endued with power from on high. Just stay around in Jerusalem here till it happens. Okay? Then he goes on and talks a little bit. And then he gets on down to where he says, you know, you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. And then he goes on down and it starts talking about the disciples. And they're in Jerusalem and they go outside Jerusalem a little bit and they end up in the upper room. Now, in the upper room, Peter rises up. And Peter starts quoting some scriptures. Judas has went out and hanged himself. So there's 11 now apostles. So Peter starts quoting the scriptures. Listen, we need to pick somebody out now to take his place because it's written in the Word that another will take his place. And he's being real scriptural about things and seems to be real spiritual about what he's doing. And so he says, so we need to find somebody that's going to take Judas's place. We need to go ahead and pick out that 12th apostle. Now, here's what they did though. Okay. What did I just say Jesus told them to do? Jesus told them to wait till they got endued with power from on high. That's what he said. Wait till you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence, he told them. But here Peter is now in the upper room and he's telling them and he's giving scripture for it. How many knows that the devil will use scripture on you sometimes to cause you to mess up? Cause he'll twist it around. And the Bible says that after Peter said that, they went ahead and came up with two guys. And then they prayed, God, which of these two guys do you want to take Judas's place? Okay, well that's not bad. Except, they didn't wait for God to answer the prayer. They went ahead and drew straws to see who would take his place. Come on now. The spiritual apostles, the chosen ones, are drawing straws. The ones that have spent time with Jesus don't even give God time to answer them. You say, well, And the Bible says that the lot, they call it casting lots, but if you search it out, it's drawing straws, that kind of thing. And it says it fell on Matthias. And you never hear of Matthias. He is not mentioned in the New Testament again after that moment. Why is that, Pastor? Because Matthias was never meant to be the 12th apostle. It was Paul. Paul's the 12th apostle. By his own admission, and I wrote some scriptures down just so that we could it would help us. Paul was always God's choice for the 12th apostle. In Galatians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Out of Paul's own mouth, he says, I wasn't chosen by man or for man. I was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you read the Word of God, you'll find out that Paul, whether by vision, whether the Lord, I don't know how, but Paul himself was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, see, there was this thing about being an apostle. If you were an apostle of the 12 original apostles, one of the requirements to be an apostle was you had to have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's Paul, a man after the time. How in the world did he see the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, listen to what he says. I want you to see this. In 1 Corinthians 9:1, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Paul admits that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, which made him qualified to be the 12th apostle. Okay? So when you start looking at this, then what you see here is that Peter and the disciples were some of those that crashed and burned. They got ahead of the Lord. Now, this is just me now, okay? I feel like that after you got over into Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Ghost came into the place and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, we know Peter starts preaching prophetically and with people are getting saved. I have no doubt that God would have spoke to them after they were filled with the Spirit like He told them to go do. I have no doubt that God would have said, all right, now, I want you to go get Paul. He's my chosen 12th apostle. But they didn't wait. They got ahead of God. And it caused a crash and burn situation. I don't know what happened to Matthias. I don't know if he walked around with them twiddling his thumbs. Apparently he didn't do anything noteworthy. Right? Again, his name's not mentioned. I looked it up again just to make sure I was right on it. When you type in Matthias in your concordance or whatever your study is, when you look for him, it's mentioned only there where they chose him and drew the straws to get him. And that's it. Not anywhere from there on. They crashed and burned because they got ahead of the wave. Now, how many knows there was a wave coming? The wave of the power of the Holy Ghost, because that's the rest of the New Testament, man, is powerful. It's just the Spirit of God just moving through people's lives and through the church and all the new believers. But they got ahead of God and caused at first a wipeout. I don't want to cause a wipeout. I don't want to get ahead of God with something. Come on. I want to be able to read the water. I want to stay on top of things. Sometimes folks can get ahead. And I've told this story before, but it always struck me because I can see how it happened. I remember Dad Hagin talking about one time. He was praying. He was having a series of meetings. It was going to be a night of healing. And he had been praying and fasting before the Lord. And he said God showed him in a vision. He showed him up and over in the row. Front row, he showed him a lady there, showed him exactly what color clothes she had on, showed him everything about it, showed him laying hands on her, her being healed of cancer, and showed the whole deal. So he said, I knew exactly what was supposed to happen that night. And he said, we came in and he said, man, the service started going, and he said the Spirit of God was moving, and it was just a powerful service. And you know, when it's a powerful service like that, if you're a spiritual person, you pick up on things. Right? Come on, you know when the Spirit's moving. I mean, we're all bear witness of the Spirit of God. But he said the service is going real good, you know, and he sensed in his spirit that it wouldn't be long before this is supposed to happen, you know, what God had shown him. And then all of a sudden, some lady stood up and said, I believe we all need to pray for sister so-and-so. She's got cancer, and I believe we need to pray for her. And everybody agreed with her. They got her up there, and they surrounded her, laid hands on her, and it never came to pass what God showed him. What happened? Got ahead of God. God had a plan. God had a wave coming toward that woman. But they crashed and burned. And I understand that, you know, the woman thought she was hearing from God, but you've got to understand something. You may know somebody's supposed to be prayed for. You may know something in the Spirit, but that don't mean necessarily that you act on that unless you're sure. Come on, that's how a lot of folks get goofy in the church. Come on, that's why you end up with a lot of wildfires. People experience, they're feeling the Spirit. They know, but they get ahead of God. See, God has the steps of this service ordered, not me. Amen. And God wants to do things in His time, and if we're not careful, sometimes we can jump ahead of that and we can miss out on God. I don't think that the woman ever received her healing after that. So it could be that crash and burn there caused her to miss out on the healing that God had already showed Brother Hagin she was going to receive. Just because of getting ahead of God. So we want to make sure that we stay balanced. We want to make sure that we stay on top. Now, I believe Paul, if there was anybody that knew how to stay on top, it was Paul. You know, he went through a lot of things, and there was plenty of times for him to fall back. God showed him a lot of things. There was times, remember, he said, I called up into the third heaven. He said, I saw things that it wouldn't even lawful for a man to utter. How many knows if God had showed you some things that it'd be real easy for you to get ahead? But he knew he had to stay balanced. And he needed to stay on top because he needed to ride this thing all the way out. Jump over here with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll look at this and then we'll close on this in just a minute. Philippians chapter 4. Let's just begin to read it for. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any praise or any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now listen, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, Paul's saying, listen, I've learned how to read the water. I've learned how to read the Spirit. I've learned how to flow with God to whether things are good, I'm on top. If things are scant, I'm still on top. If I have it all, I'm on top. If I'm in need, I'm on top. Because I've learned that everything I do, I'm going to do it through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't go under. We won't get behind. We won't cause a crash and burn. We'll ride this wave out when we realize that we too can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. God wants us on top, church. Let's make sure we're watching and riding this thing out all the way till Jesus comes and takes the church home. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet.